Today on Real Radio.
If we're closer to end times, and we are, if we're seeing more end time stuff happening, and we are, then don't you think that more and more people would be flocking to the teaching of God's prophetic word to know what they ought to be doing? And yet that's not happening. Why? Apathy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We've been looking at a section in Matthew's Gospel that takes a look at events that take place during the time in which you and I are living right now, the Messianic Age. In fact, Pastor Jack has made this into a mini-series because of its importance, and he has emphasized we absolutely must pay attention to Bible prophecy. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his series of lessons called The Parable of the Fig Tree.
It's this parable that Jesus, and you'll hear about it tonight, Jesus stresses beyond all other parables. He announces that we need to know this parable. He issues an edict. He lays down an order. He's going to say to us, know this parable. It is so vitally important. Above all parables, know this parable. And we're going to see tonight why that's so important, the parable of the fig tree. And so listen, I don't want to go backing up and spending time in where we've already been. If you missed those studies, then you can catch them online and you can learn more about the foundations that we've laid thus far. But listen, tragedy is this. The parable of the fig tree deals with future events. And if tonight we were hosting a prophecy conference, a lot of young people wouldn't have come tonight here. People don't want to hear about the future from the Bible. They'd rather hear future stuff from I don't know what, but the Bible, people don't want to hear about that regarding future stuff. Listen, there are people who attend churches who do not want to hear what the Bible says about the future. They say things like, it scares them. They say things like, I don't want to know what's coming or whatever it might be. And there's this tendency on top of the fact the Bible warns us that in the last days before Christ returns, there'll be an overall atmosphere of apathy. And how will you know? The Bible tells us that people will not care about end time events. And so if we were hosting a prophecy conference tonight, here's the sad reality. Most people in the room tonight would have been gray-haired people. That's a fact. I speak at prophecy conferences all over North America. And when I go to speak, the room is full of gray-haired people. Now, I love gray-haired people. My hair is turning grayer by the day. The thing is this, though. Why is that the case? If we're closer to end times, and we are, if we're seeing more end time stuff happening, and we are, then don't you think that more and more people would be flocking to the teaching of God's prophetic word to know what they ought to be doing? And yet that's not happening. Why? Apathy. Apathy. And it's also very cool, it's very vogue in young churches to not teach on Bible prophecy. And the reason why people say that, I'm going to make enemies tonight, but this is the truth. The reason why many young ministries today do not teach on it is because the pastors are completely ignorant of end time scriptures or the doctrine of what is called eschatology of the Bible. They're not taught it in seminary. They're not taught it maybe in their denominations. They don't know the futuristic portions of God's word. And you cannot be like that as a church. You cannot do that. Why? Because look, the Bible warns us over and over again. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Peter 3, 1 says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus, or the Lord and Savior, referring to Jesus, verse 3, knowing this, so you're to know this, that scoffers, that first of all, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. That's an amazing word because it means that in their lifestyles, off the stage, they live to satisfy their own pleasures. And this is what they say. Where is the promise of his coming? Jesus isn't coming back. My grandmother said that stuff. Be careful of that attitude. Revelation 19, verse 10. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Prophecy. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Again, Isaiah 46, verse 10. It is God who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. This is what sets the biblical God apart from all of man's fabricated gods. The biblical God can tell the future in advance. It's called prophecy. And then, of course, John 14, 29, Jesus said, and now I have told you before it comes to pass. That's prophecy. That when it comes to pass, you might believe. All of a sudden, we are told by Jesus Christ that one of the great keys to having great faith and believing is knowing that the Word of God can speak to you about future events, and you can know them in advance, that when it happens, what happens? Your faith is increased. Jesus said that is imperative regarding your belief. Your faith will be stronger if you know what the Word of God says, and when things begin to happen, you can increase your faith. I pray that tonight, by the time this message comes to an end, you will have a greater commitment to the exactness of the Bible. You'll have a greater appreciation to how reliable your Bible is, and I absolutely love it. And so listen, Matthew 24, verse 1 and 2 is where it starts, and then it goes into down to verse 4, which is, I want to stress this, look at it, the whole chapter on the Olivet Discourse. It says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all of these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that was fulfilled in 70 AD. And I'm not just saying so. We not only showed you pictures a couple of studies ago, but it is a fact of world history. Verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, first question, when will these things be? Second question, what will be the sign of your coming? Third question, and the end of the age, or the end of the world as we know it, the end of the age. And Jesus in verse 4 answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. And that's the thrust of this parable for me tonight. Take heed that nobody deceives you. Jesus says to the listener, watch out, every one of you, watch. He's saying, every one of you who have a Bible and you're listening, Jesus is saying, I'm going to hold you accountable to know the truth. God says, I gave you a brain, want you to use it. The data is there. Use your head. Engage your mind and know what's coming. Tremendous. You guys, I want to put this slide back up on the screen. We gave this to you a couple weeks ago, and I want you to understand that this parable deals with six profound realities. And this parable is so important because why? Number one, it's the issue of preparedness. Preparedness. You need this. I need this because we need to be prepared. This parable teaches us to be prepared. Secondly, that we would be vigilant. We would say on guard. Thirdly, it's the issue of doctrine, Bible doctrine. Don't let anyone ever rob you of your Bible doctrine. What does the Bible teach? No matter what you hear from anybody, match what you hear against the Bible. Fourth, the issue of deception. The Bible warns us that we're the ones responsible to not being deceived. Number five is the issue of biblical authority. Did you know that Jesus says that the Old Testament is in fact the very Word of God? We'll hit this again tonight in our study. But remember that in your margins of your Bible or in your note-taking, mark that down. Jesus declared that the Old Testament is God's word. It doesn't contain God's word. It is God's word. This is vitally important. Number six, it's the issue of, verse 33, the it is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Second coming, not the rapture, second coming. Vitally important. So church, as we get into this, this might be very boring for some of you. Some of you, as we get into this, you're going to, I hope, get excited about it, but I'm going to ask you to take some notes because it's going to get, I think, fun. If you look at Matthew chapter 24, focus on verse 15 and circle verse 15. This is key because right in the middle of this chapter, Jesus says something that will set off immediately the Bible student. And this is cool because every one of us are to know this. We live in an amazing age, mind you. We can have our Bibles on our phones. We have them on our iPads, or we have the Bible is everywhere. And there's no excuse why we're not reading it. And that includes the book of Daniel. Do you remember your homework was to read the book, or specifically Daniel chapter 9? Why? Matthew 24, 15. Listen to what Jesus says. Therefore, when you see, when that generation of people, when those reading this portion of Scripture see the abomination of desolation, bracket that in your Bible, spoken of by who? Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. You have to have a temple to stand in the holy place. Whoever reads, let him understand. Look at your Bible. This is absolute. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you guys a key, Bible students, to understand what I'm talking about. Know the book of Daniel. Now, his audience knew the book of Daniel. Those disciples, they were raised as Jewish boys growing up in the Hebrew scriptures. They knew the book of Daniel. But so do we. Jesus is saying, hey, in the future, 2,000 years down the road, make sure you know the book of Daniel regarding the abomination of desolation. There's going to be a time, Jesus is saying, that the prophets spoke about when a temple will be rebuilt in Israel. Daniel 9 talks about Jerusalem and the Jewish people. This is fun. Why? Because here you are 2,000 years removed from the time of Christ, nearly 3,000 years removed from the time of Daniel, and the Bible says, and gee, did this come true? That in the 21st century, there would be a Jewish nation and Jews would have escaped Holocaust after Holocaust and still survive even to the 21st century. And Jesus said, watch this. There'll be a day. So everyone's attention goes up. What's he referring to? I'm so glad you asked. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. Go to Daniel chapter 9 in your Bibles and get your highlighter ready. Jesus sets the key interpretive setting for Matthew 24 in the parable of the fig tree. Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 21, Daniel is speaking. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, looks like a man, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a Jew. And he informed me and talked with me and said to me, are you guys there? I can hear Bibles turning still. Are you there? O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Verse 24, get your highlighter ready. 70 weeks or 70 sevens are determined, preset, for your people. Daniel was a Jew, Hebrew, right? Who's his people? The Jewish people. And for your holy city, what would that be? If you're Jewish, what's your holy city? Jerusalem. And here's the key. Number one, to finish transgressions. Two, to make an end of sins. Three, make reconciliation for iniquity. 4, to bring in everlasting righteousness. 5, to seal up vision and prophecy. 6, to anoint the most holy. Verse 25, know therefore. Do you hear any wiggle room in that? It's a command. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks, or 7 times 7, and 62 weeks, that would be 7 times 62. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times or under difficult circumstances. Verse 26, but after the 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, killed. Listen, don't raise your hand. Are you Jewish tonight? Daniel prophesied that the Messiah of Israel would be killed. That goes against everything that a Jew is taught today. And yet, that's exactly what the Hebrew scriptures say. He shall be cut off or killed, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come, this is the one who commits the abomination of desolation, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end shall be with a flood. The word is army, not flood with water, will be with a war, an army. Till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm, that is the prince that's to come, not the Messiah, but the prince, he shall confirm a covenant with many for what? 1 week. Now, don't let the word week mess you up. It's hepstad in Hebrew. It simply means 1 7. 7. 7 minutes, 7 hours, 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 what? It's, we know now from prophecy being fulfilled, that 1 week, the word means 1 7-year period of time. You'll see this in a moment. And I hope your hair just stands up in a good way. But he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, in the half of a 7, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be, listen, one who makes desolate. Translation, what does that mean? The abomination of desolation. Matthew 24, verse 15. You said, Pastor Jack, what in the world did I just read? This is what you just read. In a moment, I'm going to put this up on the screen for you in simplicity. Watch this. And I wrote this down, paraphrasing it. Watch this. Imagine God is now speaking to you or to Daniel. I will deal with you, Israel, regarding a special period of time totaling 490 years, the 70 weeks of Daniel. This is the tremendous holy of holies of Bible prophecy. 70 sevens turns out to be 490 years. Those years will come to you clearly and in exact way. You won't have to guess, but I will require of you to pay close attention to the age and to the time, to the culture of your day. The first phase will be like this. It will begin with the restoration project under Nehemiah, the Nehemiah in your Bible, in Jerusalem. The project will take, here's the answer to the first equation, 49 years. And that's exactly what happened in history. Then after the second phase will occur, which will add an additional 434 years. Don't worry, I'm going to put it on the screen in a moment. That equals 483 years. When you put 49 plus 434 together, it's 483 years. Remember, the prophecy was 490 years. God is going to deal in a special way regarding Israel. Watch this. But after the 434th year segment, the portion, has come to an end, then the Messiah shall come for the first time to Jerusalem. he will be killed. Then some 2,000 years will pass until the end of days comes. Those last remaining days are made up of a final period of time of 7 years. They will be the worst of all. They will be the great tribulation period, which will complete the prophecy given to Daniel. That's a paraphrased rendering. Let's look at it on the screen. Guys, put that slide up, and you're going to need to write this down. How do you unlock Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, which is the key to understanding Bible prophecy? And I hope for some of you, gives you a tremendous vitamin B shot regarding faith in your scripture. The equation given regarding the 7 weeks and the 62 weeks and all works out to this: 49 years plus the 434 years. So listen, 7 times 7 is how much? 7 times 62 is 434. Do you see that? Can you see that in your head? Somebody say yes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Fig Tree. It's actually a mini-series that takes a very close look at a section in Matthew's Gospel, which addresses events that occur in the end times. In other words, right now and in the very near future. The Parable of the Fig Tree is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember, this series is still available on MP3 CD, The Parables of Jesus. The entire collection of studies is yours for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Now we have Pastor Jack here in studio with us. Pastor Jack, I understand that there is an important conference on Israel coming up.
Yeah, you know, every year our facilities here play host to Dr. David Hawking's Hope for Today outreach.
Yeah.
He does a prophecy conference where he brings in some pretty knowledgeable people. One of them is a dear brother and friend. In fact, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, for example, he's an attorney. He's not only an attorney, he's a pastor of the Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, but he's part of the faculty at Dallas Theological Seminary, a great brother, a great communicator. Of course, Dr. David Hawking will be speaking, Thomas Ice, David Reagan. David Reagan is a gentleman who many of you know from his television broadcast. David Reagan has the ability to look at world events in light of Bible prophecy, second to none, and no man has ever been known to fall asleep during one of his messages. The guy, I'm telling you, when I grow up, I hope I have as much anointing as energy as Dr.
Okay.
David Reagan. We're going to be having with us a dear brother from England, Dr. Paul Wilkinson, a tremendous speaker, one who, listen, everybody, one who has taken upon himself to really reveal this very, very ugly and insidious vein that is flowing through many churches in the world today, and that is an anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Jew doctrine.
In the church.
In the church.
Yeah.
And Dr. Paul Wilkinson has tremendous presentations on this.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his doctorate in mathematics, in science, but he loves the Word of God, tremendous brother. And I tell you what, it's going to be a great time. There'll be other events planned as well. There's no cost for this event. A love offering is going to be taken,
mm-hmm.
but I encourage you to come on out. This is going to be stuff at our time. With what's going on in the world right now, Davey, you can't afford to miss this conference.
When is it?
This conference begins on August 7th, 7th and 8th. And it's right here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, right here in Southern California. We hope that if you're within driving distance, or for that matter, listen, every year we have people that come from as far as Canada.
That's great.
We've had people come from Maine.
Yeah, I love it.
To attend this event. So it's an eye-opener for sure.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.